The number of teens doing Saturday jobs has halved, according to a report by the Resolution Foundation. Let's speak about this with Phil Kelly and Siobhan O'Connor. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning,
so
Vinny.
It's a quarter of 16 and 17-year-olds were in work between 2017 and 2019. That's falling from a half, so from a quarter to a half around 20 years ago. Now, you know, some will make the argument, Siobhan O'Connor, that young people will lose out in developing certain life skills and I guess learning that basic value of money, whereas other will say, well, look, you know, you've got to let children be children until they have to be an adult, because that can be tough.
Well, I mean, you have back in the war times, people going off, men going off the age of 14 in World War One. You know, I know we're living in a different time, but we're living a lot longer. But working from a teen, and you're not from a kid like as old as like 8 or 9 out in the fields, you know, picking strawberries or whatever. You're talking about teenagers learning the value of a pound. And I think it's terrible. And this is how we end up with the snowflake generation. I know they're fantastic. Young people are amazing on bigger issues like climate change and everything. However, learning that, you know, you have to work for your money, not relying on your parents for everything. I mean, I babysat from the age of 13. I was going around door to door selling potpourri and little shells, trying to...
At the age of 13?
Yeah, but my mom and dad really encouraged it.
Yeah, but let's talk about that in particular. Now, I worked, I think I had my first job. I used to work in my dad's shop. I worked in KFC and I worked from a very young age. But, you know, has the world changed to an extent now? Would you be happy sending your child out at the age of 13 to sell potpourri door to door?
You know what? I think we've just gone so... We're so panicked about everything now. Every little thing. You know, we can't let our children breathe. I mean, I'm a helicopter mother myself. I mean, I'm panicking about everything. We've become like that. And I think fear instills fear. And I really think it's sad that, you know, we can't let our kids out to work. Now, I'm not saying to send them to a department store at 13. I started my first job in a department store at 16. And it really taught me that not everyone's going to like you in life. That, you know, you're not this little precious little deer that belongs to your parents. You know, the thing is, work really instills a great, when you go out to work, it instills a great ethic in you, a work ethic, a work ethos. And, you know, you need to learn that at a young age, that not everything in life is going to go your way. Of course, okay, you have to be positive. We have to be, you know, so we have to foster an ability in our children to do anything they want in life. But I think it's really important for them to understand that the world is real. And even if it's a small, even if it's babysitting at the weekend, if you don't want them to go out to a department store, something so that they know this
okay,
is the value
get,
of a euro.
I let's bring Phil in.
Money.
Phil Kelly?
Yeah, I think today's young people are all too familiar with how real the world is and how difficult choices are made. Because if you look at youth workers, they often work in the lowest paid sectors. And within that, they're paid significantly less than their co-workers. So one example would be an under 18-year-old is earning £3.86 an hour less than somebody who's 25 years plus in terms of minimum wage. Now, while the wages are different and the levels that those youth workers are paid, the public transport costs, the rents that they have to pay, the bills that they have to pay, don't take into account their age.
So are you basically suggesting that we bump up a 16-year-old's base salary, so the minimum wage?
I think it's important that when anyone goes out to work, that they are paid a fair day's pay for a fair day's work, and regardless of their age, their gender, or anything else. And, you know, we really do these workers a disservice by treating them in such a way. But there's a broader issue, Vinny, as to why you've seen the kind of collapse in youth work. And it's basically because many of our citizens are now working the quote-unquote Saturday job as their main job. The rise of the zero-hour contract, of the precarious work, of the short-term contract, has seen people who are trying to raise their families, pay a mortgage, living in that kind of, you know, paycheck-to-paycheck kind of situation and environment. So, you know, work itself has become much more unstable and much more insecure. So I think, you know, we need to make sure that people, when they do work, are paid a decent wage And also for young people, it's important that we remove as many barriers as we can for education so they can continue with their education, but also in no way hinder them if they want to make that decision.
What about the argument, Siobhan, many make regarding allowing children to be children? Let them enjoy their youth when you're 16 years old, 17 years old, when you become an adult. And I know that some children at that age do have a lot of responsibility, but for many, when you turn into your 20s, you become a parent, you get married, you have mortgages, you have debt.
Yeah.
Life can be really tough. So whenever you've got those last couple of years, why not just let children be children?
I totally disagree. I'll tell you why. You know, if you need something done, ask a busy person. When I was 16, I was training to be in the school play. I was doing the Saturday job, which is only 8 hours, to earn my own money so that I could, you know, do the things I wanted to during the week so my mom wasn't under pressure to provide for that kind of element, a little bit of a social life, you know, going to the disco or whatever. And I did all those things and I studied and I really, really feel we can fit a lot more in. I'm sure those 16-year-olds you're talking about who are enjoying themselves and, you know, living their youth, half the time they're not out exercising. I did also did ballet right up until 25. They're probably on a console. I'm just saying that we can fit in a lot more and we can teach our youth at a young age that it's, you know, we all need to earn our, like, pave our way in life. And I'm just getting back to what Bill was saying there, Vinny. Like, do you not think, Bill, a 16-year-old shouldn't be getting the same as a 25-year-old with 10 years extra experience?
Well, if I'm 25 and I go for a job in a fast food restaurant and it takes a couple of weeks for me to do the basic training and then I get paid £8.21 an hour and then I am working beside an 18-year-old who's joined that same restaurant at the same time as me, gone through the same training, and earns £4.35 an hour. And I've seen instances, you know, many of these workers are ununionised. These 18-year-olds or under-18-year-olds are then being asked by their line manager to give basic training to their co-workers, and they're being paid £4.35 an hour. So I understand experience. Experience is when you work your way up in a business, and that should be rewarded. But the basic salary shouldn't have that kind of difference. There is no reason why somebody who's under 18 should be paid £3.86 an hour. You talk about snowflakes and that, you know, young people are cotton wool from the
okay.
world.
Okay, let's let Siobhan reality. Respond. And I guess, Siobhan, people might say that you would be maybe more inclined to go and get a job if you're going to get paid better.
Absolutely, but the only thing I will say is the 25-year-old, and I understand what you're saying there, Bill, I thought you were talking about a different kind of scenario. But is the 25-year-old maybe they're actually, you know, in rented accommodation? The 18-year-old is probably at home, no? With the mommy and daddy.
Well, sometimes absolutely, because, I mean, the reality for housing and accommodation is young people simply can't afford it. They can't afford it on the wages that they're paid. So if someone is paid £4.35 an hour, it's very difficult to see how they could pay the ever-increasing rental costs. And that goes back
to... to be honest, Bill, you're on to something there, because I actually really thought that everyone... I thought there was a minimum wage set for those that kind of industry and that you just got the same. So that's
exactly, and it's not the case, and that's the point I go back to. When that 18-year-old gets on a bus to travel to their place of work, they don't get a reduced fare, do they? They pay the same fare as the 25-year-old. So, you know, we need fare in the workplace, and that will encourage young people into work.
Worked in Dunn's, I was on rubbish money to start, but then I after year two, I increased, and because I was 16, I got less. But I was absolutely delighted to get a couple of quid. And I think, you know, we shouldn't be setting this precedent for young people to think they walk into a job straight away and they earn absolutely the best, you know, going rate. I think it's just important to get on a ladder
and
find a work at all.
Yeah, let's take some calls on this. What did you do when you were younger? Did you have a job? Perhaps your parents were happy enough to pay your way until you were maybe in your 20s. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Sarah, good morning to you. Hello, Sarah. We'll try and see if we can get Sarah back. Norman, good morning to you, Norman.
Morning, Vinnie.
How are you?
Vinnie, I left school at 15 on a Friday. On a Monday morning, I started work.
Doing what?
I used to work in Atkinson's Tie Factory, the weaving. And then I started serving my time when I was 16.
You used to weave ties?
I used to work at the loom, the weaving machine. That was my first job, weaving in the Atkinson Tie Factory, made silk ties. But then when I started serving my time at 16, I'd done 44 hours a week for £2.40 a week. And I give that to my mother. So after work, at 5 or 5:30 at night, I'd have been out at the back fixing cars for other people or fixing motorbikes to earn extra money. And even when I was married, I was still doing a full-time job, coming home from work, getting my dinner and going out and fixing motors to earn extra money.
You think 16-year-olds nowadays, Norman, should they be doing the same?
But mate, there's no worth ethic in today's society.
Says who?
Young people. I see jobs advertising shop windows looking part-time staff. And young ones today, they want everything handed to them. They'd rather sit behind their Xboxes or their computers or their phones before they would do
that. Is that fair, Norman? You're very much generalising there, and you're basically saying that all young people are lazy, and that's not true.
I know young people, so do.
And so do I, and I know lots of young people that are very conscientious, and they're not lazy.
Young people have no interest in work. They're getting more in benefits than they are working. And that's why I have no interest in work.
There's people that will label that, but the older people, not just children. You're 16, you are still technically a child.
You might be a child, but I was a child at 16. I was working 44 hours a week, plus working at night after I come out of work. You're not a child. You're able to go out and do a job.
Legally, you're a child.
I see jobs in shop windows looking for part-time staff, and they can't get part-time staff because our young ones today are wrapped up on their computers and their Xboxes and their iPhones. They have no interest in work because their parents are giving them enough pocket money to do whatever they want, and that's where the problem lies. If they hadn't got the pocket money that their parents were giving them, they would have to go out and do a part-time.
Well, do you know what? I would say there are many children that don't get pocket money and that do work at the age of 16 for that exact reason, Norman, that they have to go out and they have to contribute to the household. They have to go out and earn money so they can go to school or pay for the bus, whatever it is.
Yes, but there's a lot that don't, Finny. They're getting pocket money. They're able to go out and buy drink and alcohol and all. They don't have to work to get it. Their parents are giving them the money. And that's where you need a worth ethic in society. So you do. I brought my children up to work. So I did. I used to take my son to work with me when I was out in the lorries. And he used to work when he was 11 years of age. And he's still working
11.
Today. When he was 11, off school in the summer holidays, he used to go and work with me in the lorry. And he's still working today. He wouldn't sit on benefits, so he said it's no good to him, benefits.
And again, you know, you're generalising here big time, Norman. There are some people that are on benefits, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, they maybe have no other option.
They have an option, but they're getting more on benefits than what they were getting doing a job. And that's why they sit on benefits, because they're getting more from the benefit system.
Norman, thank you. Fred and Drumore. Good morning, Fred. Hello, Fred. I don't know what Fred's doing with his phone. We'll have to try and sort that out. Daniel, good morning, Daniel.
Hello there, Vinny. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, but you know what? I can barely hear today. I was trying those ear candles at the weekend because both my ears are blocked, one almost completely, and I'm just about making people out. But anyway,
you should try syringes and hot water.
No, but that worries me because you can damage your ears. So I just don't want to go that way. I tried these candles. It looked like I was smoking out my ear.
It all depends on how hot the water is. You use lukewarm water. I've done it for years, you know, and everything's fine with me.
I had a bath on Saturday night, and that's when it happened. I stuck my head under the water, and I came back up, and I couldn't hear.
Well, when Stephen's here, boy, you have a Glaudenol here, you know.
See, usually, because I feel like I've got a duvet wrapped around my head and then a bucket on my head, and that's what I feel like I'm listening to the programme and you lot through. And usually, I only feel like that when Stephen's on.
I know, well, I'm not surprised, boy. I feel like that when I'm listening to him.
Do you? Anyway, he doesn't like it when people talk about him. So what was the point you rang up to make, Daniel?
Oh, just about, I was saying there about Norman and Bangor.
Yes.
For once, I agree with them about young people. Like, they have no drive at all, and they would rather sit on their phones and expect a winning lottery ticket to come through the post.
But
there's no drive, they've got more.
I don't doubt that there are some that are like that, but I just don't understand when the likes of Norman or yourself come on and say that every young person is like that, because that's just not the case.
Well, I'd say it's a minority of people, but not every one of them, you know, because we had no choice. We had to go out and work, you know.
Who's to blame, then, for that lack of work ethic that you and Norman think exists?
The parents.
Well, there you go.
Because everything's, like, say, if the kids are playing up, the parents are just shoving an Xbox or an iPod or anything under their nose to keep them quiet. And then they get used to that throughout the years. They get used to being babied. And I never agree with Norman, like, you know what I mean?
Well, you're not alone there. Daniel, thank you. Well, Tim McCain, good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Vinny.
What do you reckon?
Well, I have twins who have just started university this year, but they were both doing their A-levels. Lily went and worked in a shop every Saturday morning for over a year, and Jack was working in a restaurant, working up to 14 hours a day on occasion.
What was your first job, Tim?
My first job, well, I worked, and my dad worked in an ad agency, and he got me a job. I was 15 when I used to go in after school, so I've had a long career in marketing.
You started in marketing when you were 15?
Well, I went in. There were jobs to be done in the ad agency. I had to do a thing called vouchers, which was cutting ads out of newspapers and sending them to the clients. It wasn't very exciting.
I've had a variety of jobs, including a toilet tester for Royal Doulton. Armitage Shanks. For three days as a toilet tester, worked in KFC, worked in my dad's shop, worked in off licenses.
Jack and Lily both went to work while they were doing their A levels. They worked harder than I did for their A levels. They worked very hard in part time jobs.
And just briefly, just because we're almost at the end, how much did you get paid in your first job?
Me? Oh, I was getting, I got about £3 or £4 a week.
Phil Kelly, what about you?
I got, I can't even remember, a couple of quid working in a garage on my own. On a night shift doing the Sunday papers, putting the supplements in.
And Siobhan?
It was £7 an hour in Dunn's, but then babysitting was brilliant money. It was
£7. What age are you, Siobhan O'Connor? Don't answer that. That's very rude of me to ask you. Siobhan O'Connor, thank you very much. And Phil Kelly, thank you as well.